I'm Lizzie O'Leary, host of the Slate podcast, What Next TBD, in for Tanzina Vega, who's on maternity leave. This is The Takeaway. We are many weeks in, sheltering at home to slow the spread of a pandemic, and parenting is getting really tough. It's challenging under normal circumstances, of course, but add to that working from home, plus homeschooling, plus the stressors of living in a pandemic, and it's leaving parents dealing with anxiety, stress, and depression. And we asked you to tell us what the hardest parts of your days are as a parent right now, and where you find moments of joy.
Best part of my day during this whole COVID thing, about 9 o'clock with my 7-year-old daughter, and she just finally lets go of all the worry. She worries all day. Not all day, but, you know, she's got questions and online school and why can't we go there and why can't we go here? It's hard. I'm essential working from home full time. My wife's essential working for a city full time. She's doing 40, 50 hours a week. And we're lying in bed and she's 7 and she finally lets go of all that and just drifts off to sleep and I see the worry just go away.
The hardest part of today was trying to homeschool a frustrated kindergartner who's trying to learn how to spell words while a 3-year-old runs around the house. And the best part of today was waiting with my kids to watch the Blue Angels and Thunderbirds fly over.
Hello, I'm calling from Redmond, Washington. The hardest part of my day today so far was leaving my teenager in an obviously depressed state and my elementary school child with a tummy ache to go to my, quote, essential job. My husband is home with him, but he can't soothe and cuddle as well as mom can.
Hi, this is Patrick calling from Holliston, Massachusetts. Probably the toughest part of every day is just trying to balance my workload. I'm a teacher in Boston, my wife's workload as a therapist, and the needs of my children. The best part of my day today was exploring in the woods with my 3 girls under the age of 6. Their curiosity, their engagement with nature is just so much fun to watch.
Thanks to the many of you who called in with your experiences. We're going to talk a little bit about what parents are going through right now and where they can find help. Cheryl Ziegler is the author of Mommy Burnout, a doctor of psychology, and a registered play therapist. And Jessica Gross is the lead editor of New York Times Parenting. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for having me.
Jess, I want to start with you. Not only are you the lead parenting editor at the Times, but you've got 2 young kids at home. You had a tweet that cracked me up. You said, prepping for homeschooling week whatever. Turns out I don't know what a trapezoid looks like. How's it going over there?
Every day is a challenge. What I like to say is that it's not good days and bad days. It's good 30 minutes and bad 30 minutes. So the mood is shifting rapidly. It's really hard. And I learned over the weekend that I'm not equipped to do preschool math. So that's how it's going.
Cheryl, there are so many different factors contributing to this moment being really hard on parents. What are you hearing?
I would say, you know, we've been through these stages of grief. And what I'm seeing is that initial denial of like, is this really happening? Can I really do this? And then parents feeling like, okay, I could do this short term. But then as the weeks have gone on, it's like, actually, I really can't do this. I'm really over this. And everyone's gone through their stages of being in denial and then being angry and having to find someone or something to be angry at. What I'm seeing really this week right now is a lot of regression. So seeing kids go back to former states that they used to be able to do, you know, potty training, bedwetting, sleeping in their own bed, sucking their thumbs, those kind of things. So I'd say every week we are seeing a different trend in what's happening with kids and families.
Yeah, I mean, Cheryl, we talked on the show yesterday about the pressure to be productive right now and how hard that is living through a pandemic and how much harder it is for parents who are, you know, wearing like 8 different hats right now. How do we see the mental health effects of living during this COVID-19 era play out in parents in particular?
So interestingly, even parents are regressed in some ways. So regression in an adult can look like, you know, chewing on your pen cap really tight, or this high consumption of alcohol that we're seeing. So we're seeing this stress manifest in different ways for parents. And then we're also seeing parents going in and out of these grief stage cycles. And that's what makes it complicated, is that within one family under one roof, you might have people in different stages. So they're experiencing different things and have different needs at the same time. So it is complete and utter overwhelm. We see online counseling services upwards of 200%. We're seeing anxiety medications being prescribed upwards of 30%. And so we're really seeing it happening live, but I also think there's a lot to come in the future.
Jessica, you guys have been writing a lot about how this all looks different depending on income level, just frankly, as parenting did prior to the pandemic. But how does that factor into how this moment feels in different households?
The long-term effects that experts are worried about is really for underserved kids whose parents either they're essential workers or the kids don't have the access they need to online learning. And so there's a lot of fear of them falling behind. There is a lot of fear that is legitimate based on studies that came out of Hurricane Katrina and World War II that the impact on poorer children might be really severe. I mean, the Times just ran a report today that showed concern for rising obesity rates because kids aren't allowed outside because the school day provides so much natural structure for kids. And that's not just obviously for poor kids, that's for all kids. So I think that we're not even going to know the challenges that we're facing with our kids and our communities until 6 months, a year, 5 years from now.
Cheryl, if you're a parent and you're feeling guilty right now because you've got to work or, you know, you can't give your kid undivided attention, how should you manage that?
Well, I think one of the first things that parents can't hear enough is that they need to lower that bar. And to think that parents are going to be distance learner teachers and they're going to also run the household plus try to keep food on the table, all of that's just not realistic. So I think what I have seen over the last couple of weeks is that that message is starting to get to people. So I would say, you know, get involved in terms of the school. If school does indeed open in the fall, we, you know, advocate for review of everything that was missed in this final quarter. And just know that your kids, if their mental health is really more important, I think, right now than their academic functioning, the fact that they see you as calm, you meaning the parent, they see the parent as calm, managing their own anxiety, taking care of themselves, having some fun and laughter, all of those things are more important right now. I think if a kid can read daily, that's great. That's really important. And, you know, every single kid is different. There are some kids who are kind of thriving in this. There's also the kids that, you know, are on screens all day and that they don't do well with that. There's such a variety. I think that parents just really need to understand that their kids are going to be okay. They are going to catch up. If they need remedial work in the fall, then so be it. But really keeping the household feeling safe and calm, I think, is of utmost priority right now.
How honest should you be about kind of how serious all of this is?
You know, I've been saying from week one that I think we need to be pretty honest with kids, and I haven't changed my stance on that because I think you can communicate depending on the age of the child a little bit differently, but I think it's really important to let them know that we are, I really like saying to kids, you're not stuck at home, you're safe at home, this is a health crisis. It's really important to understand that our actions make a difference, not just for our own lives and our own families, but for everyone around us. And I do think that that's a priority. What I will say this week is teenagers are probably getting the most antsy. And so I'm hearing a lot more of my teen snuck out. My teen wants to see their boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, and so I think they really need to understand the potential health impact of acting upon their impulses right now.
Jess, how does this fall differently on different genders?
We're hearing a lot that it is falling more to moms. And even if the chores and the responsibilities are divided equally, I think moms feel a greater amount of emotional responsibility to maintain the mood of the family and also to keep everything organized and on track. I think they feel a lot of ambient pressure from, you know, they see people posting things on Instagram about their perfect school setup and their kids thriving. And they feel like, well, why does my house look like a disaster area? And I still don't know what a trapezoid is. And so I think that it is overall harder on moms, but I do think it is pretty hard on involved dads as well. It's just not feasible to work and watch your children all day at the same time.
I want to make sure also we're not losing track of the reality that there are a lot of parents who are doing this solo.
You know, I think it is really, really hard on them. They are just taking it day by day, but a lot of them, we were hearing them feeling burnt out weeks ago, you know, from the get-go. It was so overwhelming to have no break, no additional support. I think that is really, really, really tough.
Jess, when we think about potential structural shifts that could come out of this, do you think that it may change the way workplaces think about parenting or even the expectations of parents in terms of what they are able to do kind of with and around their kids?
I'm optimistic about it, actually, which is rare for me. I think just the appearance of children, I mean, dads can't protect their work life in the same way that moms can't protect their work life. So kids are busting in on the Zooms. Dads are getting interrupted in their work the way that moms traditionally have been interrupted in their work. And I think management, which, you know, statistically is still heavily male, are seeing their jobs interrupted and upended by their children in ways that they tend to not, because they're not at home all the time. So I do think that there will be a greater amount of understanding. And there was already a shift among the generation of men who is in their 20s and 30s in terms of how involved they would like to be with their children and how involved they sort of demand their employers to allow them to be with their children. So I am mildly optimistic that this will shift some structural stuff in the workplace in terms of the way employers think about men and women. There's a lot of data that shows when women become pregnant, employers think of them as less engaged and less involved in their work. And I'm hoping that, if anything, that erases that prejudice or at least lessens it a little bit.
Jessica Gross is lead editor of Parenting for the New York Times, and Cheryl Ziegler is author of Mommy Burnout, a psychologist and a registered play therapist. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
We'll be hearing more from parents in the coming days. And if you want to tell us about your experience parenting during this time, just give us a call. We're at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway.